Valley students have been back in school for around a month, and already there have been a handful of incidents that have required schools to go on lockdown. This, of course, follows the shooting at an elementary school in Uvalde, Texas, in May, in which 19 children and two adults were killed. Since that time, there's been a lot of talk about hardening schools to make them more secure and the kinds of lockdown drills students and teachers do. But my next guest says added security does not necessarily make schools safer. Elizabeth Anthony is an associate professor in the School of Social Work at ASU, where she studies youth. She joins me to talk more about this. And Elizabeth, are there best practices to protect schools while not traumatizing students in the process?
Oh, this is a good question. And yes, we're seeing more and more issues with gun violence. And so this question is really an important one. There are some best practices, but generally speaking, what the research has found is that the security features and overall reliance on security features is not what helps make schools most safe. So the basic information that's out there says basic common sense strategies like limiting the number of people on campus, making sure there are some security checks, basic things like that, but frankly, they can't prevent a school shooting at this point.
So when you talk about systems that maybe aren't as effective, are you talking about like surveillance systems, metal detectors, door locking, key card kinds of things?
Exactly. So there has been some research that suggests metal detectors help limit the number of contraband coming on campus, but they don't really prevent school shootings. So armed guards, any kinds of metal detectors, any kind of other what they call hardening of schools or hardening of the target don't help prevent school shootings.
Well, there has been seemingly research for a little while now that suggests, you know, at an extreme level, making a school more like a prison is not the right approach. It doesn't necessarily make them safer, and it also doesn't necessarily provide an environment conducive to learning. So given that kids, in many ways, especially as they get older, know what's going on in the world and schools do lockdown drills and that kind of thing, what are some of the ways that schools and teachers and parents and administrators should be talking to kids about the issue of school safety and maybe what to do if they are in a situation where something bad is happening at their school?
Yes, this is a really important question because, as you know, misinformation is really everywhere on social media. So kids don't always know what's happening, whether it's a real risk or it's a drill. And the early research said that these drills were actually sort of traumatizing kids or producing some psychological effects where young people are oversensitized to the threat. So we don't want them to be so desensitized that they can't respond in an emergency. So a little bit of information is helpful, but too much information is actually harming young people. So keeping kids off the media so they don't have to keep seeing these shootings and seeing other kids being traumatized is a really important factor. So trying to protect them from that, but also giving kids a sense of agency. And this is really important in my research. Young people really need to have a sense that they can do something regardless of what's coming at them, that they have some kind of ability to respond. And there is a sense of agency that young people can have if they're prepared for the event, the best that they can be.
So what does that preparation look like? Because as I referenced, a lot of schools do lockdown drills. Is it that kind of thing, or is it maybe further training beyond that?
No, so some of it is lockdown drills, but not the super high sensitized ones. So basic protocol. So when the teacher says something's going on, everybody needs to respond. Young people know exactly what to do, but not oversensitizing them to there's somebody scary on campus. There's those kinds of factors was really causing trauma for young people coming home from school saying, I had to crouch under my desk for an hour waiting for this person to be gone from my school. So that's really terrifying. So we don't want to terrify kids, but we want them to feel powerful. The other type of training we're wanting to really help kids take a hold of is to have conflict management skills. So they're able to work with each other and so that they know how to identify when someone is having a trouble within the school. So a large percentage of school shootings actually happen from someone who's involved in the school. So helping kids to understand that when they respond as a community, they're more likely to be safe.
It seems like such a fine line to walk between oversensitizing kids and desensitizing kids to this kind of thing. Is it as difficult to do as it sounds like it would be to do?
It is, because similar to some of the other things we see in our society, young people are all over social media, so they see it. But study after study has really shown that young people seeing images of other young people running from a school or being shot or crying because they lost someone does not help their sense of agency in responding to an emergency. It actually traumatizes them so that they feel less sense of agency. So I think what is tricky and what is best is to really limit the media exposure and to talk to kids. So young people are so savvy and so strong. And so if adults can communicate with them in a real way, hey, this is a real thing happening. What can we all do as a community to address it? Young people come out ahead.
I want to go back to what you're talking about a little earlier about some of the things that schools do to quote unquote harden them, to make them maybe less appealing or more difficult targets for potential school shooters to get into. Are there any of those things that actually do work, things that schools maybe have tried that seem to work while at the same time not hurting the learning environment or not desensitizing or oversensitizing kids?
Yes. In fact, one of the strategies that came out from COVID was basically limiting the number of people who come on campus. So prior to COVID, parents could go on campus pretty easily, parents and other people, and be wandering around the campus. And so now you really can't get on campus without a name badge, without someone knowing you're on campus, how long you're going to be there, and what you're there for. So that has helped. The other thing that does help is locked doors. So that didn't help in the shooting in Uvalde. But typically speaking, if there are limited points of entry, it's less likely that a shooter will get in and have control over the entire school.
All right. That is Elizabeth Anthony, an associate professor in ASU School of Social Work. Elizabeth, thanks for your time and your insights. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.